Oh, what's this? Oh, delicious can of whoopass. Oh, there's some fierce clench. Pour that all over. I think it's cooked. Like, I didn't have much hope before, but I still thought things like, I put it this way, Pim, it's even more cooked than even I thought.
There's other teams out there who can overtake them.
No, I'm actually going to disagree on this one. Here's why. Counterpoints is back, which also means time for everyone to get really upset if they're a fan of insert whatever team in the top 10 that isn't Vitality, I guess. Like, the usual, Counterpoints, a.k.a. Thorin and Pimp, upset fans. But for some reason, the fans keep tuning in every week. Story of our lives in some way, Pimp, you know. And yeah, our broadcast true. Careers.
True. I mean, you've never been better without a hater, I guess. So
I haven't.
We're good.
Okay. By the way, I'll even say that is it, that old saying by Oscar Wilde, the one that says the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. It is true, because I'll tell you, there are some analysts never get any hate, but I also just never see their name written anywhere. And they must wonder, like, it's like that thing of, like, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, did it fall? They must wonder, like, is this thing on? Like, is anyone listening? Are any of my opinions real? Like, am I just an NPC ant in the hive as well? Or something? I don't know, boys. I don't know what to tell you. Because you have to realise, we're at the point, this is at the level we're on, Pip. We're at the level where people can even agree with our take, but they still hate us for saying it. That's like, guy, can't
time,
beat man. That, mate. That's some top quality hating, I know. Okay, now speaking of top quality hating, okay. Let's just take, oh, what's this? Oh, delicious can of whoopass. Oh, there's some fierce clench. Pour that all over. Because here's the thing, Pip. I don't think on this show we've been that kind to FaZe. You know, we gave them a bit of a chance during the major because obviously, you know, they perked up a bit as the playoffs came, but people like Jacob had a decent, like, I think it was like the second stage of the major, a second or third, one of them had a decent stage. Obviously, we had to give them credit when they make the major final run, even though it was the most fool's gold run of all time that there's no way it would replicate. But whatever, we understand the copium, and on some level, I do get it, right? If you make the final of the major, in a weird way, you sort of, it's like the Magic's life game at the Shanghai. You have to sort of give the person a little bit more time in case they've done something magical. But okay, the problem is now, Pim, we've already had a bunch of tournaments and it could not almost have gone worse for FaZe. Like, I don't know if anyone saw this stat online. They've won something like 3 matches this year or something pro. And when I looked up how many people they've lost to, they've lost to some absurd, like 9 opponents or something. And like, yeah, a couple of them were good. Some of them were nobody's mate. Some of these were like squads way below, like pretty sweet. Some of the people they've lost to will never ever been a major fan of their entire careers. So I think this is the time where I know every podcast has done the whole, like, what's wrong with FaZe? Forget what's wrong with FaZe, but here's where this starts. This roster's just over. Like, this, there's no more sort of copium or excuses left. Like, it's like, remember the first season you could say things like, well, you know, they had that event where Rain had to stand in, so they didn't get to use the proper 5-man lineup. And then, you know, or they were transitioning to bring a twist back in. But whatever excuse you have, it's just too long now. Like, they've had loads of lands at this point in time. They've had quite a few lands to play. They played a lot of maps together. We've seen this roster, this exact 5-man lineup play against a lot of different. So to me, I just start there. I think it's cooked. Like, I didn't have much hope before, but I still thought things like, I put it this way, Pim, it's even more cooked than even I thought. Like, for example, I am actually, one thing that's a low-key angle no one even talks about is, even Twist has sort of become a bit crap in this team now, and he was mega when he first joined. So where do you want to start? Obviously, FaZe is in trouble, mate. I mean, even they know it. That's why they're trying up to Dracula, et cetera, you know.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, I think even saying trouble is not justifying it. Like, that team is, as you said, like, they're cooked, they're done. That is the worst in a history of the likes of FaZe Clan, who's been around for so long. Sure, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be good periods, bad periods. This is by far the worst iteration of FaZe ever, you know. And I've lost, as you said, I've lost completely faith in anything in regards to that lineup, because I agree, we spoke about them a couple of months ago when they lost to Eyeballers, you know, at the Blast event. Yes. Online to begin with, we gave them a bit of leeway, you know, first game of the season, it's online, it's FaZe, yada yada, applies a bit more pressure for Krakow, and then hopefully they bounce back. But as you said, I looked at it coming into this podcast, they played 12 games so far in this season, and as you said, they only won 3. The teams they've beaten is BC game in a close 2-2.
That was close, man. They could have lost that one.
They could have lost that one. Then they beat Heroic, who's playing with a stand-in. You know, a stand-in that is not an upper, by the way. And then they beat Monty. That's it. Outside of that, they lost 9 other games. And as you said, they lose to teams who are not good at the moment. Like right now, I think FaZe is ranked number 14 or 11th regarding of HLTV or VIS ranking. But they're plummeting right now. Like, we're talking about a team that result-wise, probably not even a top 20 team in the world right now. We're talking about a team with Kerrigan, Twist, Frozen, Brokey for that matter, if you want to count him in. I don't really give a fuck anymore. We're talking about Frozen, Twist, and Kerrigan not being on a top 20 team in the world with the way they're playing right now. If you look at the way they conduct themselves, the way they play, had they not made the major final, you know, and that was a massive fluke. They knew it. We knew it. Everyone knew it at the time being. Had they not made that major final, they wouldn't play any tournaments right now. You know, say signing up to Dracoland, they should be fucking lucky if they even invited to Dracoland at this point. That's how bad they're playing right now. The only reason we even saw them at Krakow, the only reason we saw them at the Blast Online tournament, the only reason we see them at Pro League for that matter, you know, bombing out of the group stage, doing nothing at all, is because they had that one good major that speared them into the VS rankings. So they got the invites, you know, before the close down date. At this point now, we're talking about a face that is likely to not make the major. Sure, they can still do better at the upcoming LANs, and they can still ride a bit of that major VIS points in order to get the invites and get some more chances, I guess. We even looked, you know, at tournaments like in Rio or Atlanta, you know, where teams, some of the top 10 teams are declining, not coming. So, you know, it will triple down to FaZe Clan regardless. But we're literally talking about a team that if they did not fluke at the major, they wouldn't even be in contention to be invited to any of the good lands. Like, you wouldn't see them even compete anymore. And we're talking about Kerrigan, Frozen, and Twist. So, I don't want to beat on a dead horse, you know, because I think everyone now sees it. It's not about, you know, a Polish fanboy anymore saying, well, give Jacob some time. Yes. He will bring them. Like, everyone see that it's an utter shit house right now. And I feel for them. I feel for Frozen. I feel for Kerrigan. I feel for Trist. I even feel for Brokey to some degree, or Jacob. But it's clear to me now that it's at a point of no return, you know. I don't know why they're not making a change. I don't know why they're not trying to change anything or something. I can only assume it's financial reasons within FaZe Clan or whatever. You know, or maybe the players they want are not available, or maybe no one wants to join them right now. You know, we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes, but in history of Counter-Strike, for a team that's been around for so long, for a player like Kerrigan of his stature, for Twist, as you said as well, for Frozen for that matter as well, it's the worst iteration of FaZe ever. Not only have they lost to Astralis twice, you know, arguably one of the worst versions of Astralis ever as well, but they've done it two times in a row now in two elimination games. They did it at Clusion of Poker, they did it at Pro League. If you cannot beat the current version of Astralis, regardless of them maybe trending a little bit upwards, then you're not really a team that we should even consider or talk about anymore. And I think that's why I want to leave it with FaZe Clan. We now face them one more time in this podcast, and we give them a bit of flack. And as you said, we haven't been nice to them, but that's because they've been so disappointing. At this point, we're now nearing a point where I don't want to talk about them because they're not relevant anymore.
Yes.
Like, they're not a team that I even care about. They're not a team that when I see they attend a tournament, I'm like, ooh, maybe this is the one where they get it together. Ooh, maybe this is the one where they're showing a bit of progress. The only thing I hope for is, ooh, maybe this is the one where they don't finish dead last, you know, because that's what they're up for right now. They finish second to last in Cluj. They do horrible at Pro League. At this point, I have no hope at all for FaZe Clan. And it's clear to see for everyone. Roster changes, you know, blow up the team, do something drastic. I don't know what's needs to be done, but watching this team, you know, show up to a tournament, try to do their best anymore. It's just not, it's almost sad, you know. It's like whenever you, at least in Denmark, it's quite normal that when you hit like a deer, when you hit a bird or something, like it's you know, it's good manners to go out there and break the neck of the animal, you know, to
put it out of suffering. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And I feel like that's where we're at with FaZe right now. It'd almost be better if they just, you know, died or went to different teams, all of them. Because I still, you know, I still think highly of Frozen. I still think highly of Kerrigan, for that matter. He can still go to a great team and be a great in-game leader. Twist, the same. Unsure about Brokey and Jacob, let that be, you know. But I still think highly of the individuals. It's just as a unit and as a team, they are the most disappointing thing to happen to 2026 without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, by the way, to highlight just how bad this is, because there's two phases to this, funny enough, to not, pun not intended, which is normally when we critiqued FaZe last year or early this year, it wasn't even with this perspective, bro. It was more like how many changes or what do they have to do to get to the top again, to be like a relevant team that's like a dark horse or could even be in like semis and finals. But legitimately, now essentially, as we're discussing, like, bro, the question now is, are they even a relevant tier one team? And at the moment, the answer is basically no, because like if you think of this pro league run, right, bro, they played G2, who's struggling, lost to them. They played Pain, who I don't even think is that good. It's just like an all right average ass team. And then they beat Monty, but Monty, if people don't know, are a bunch of like rejected players from other squads who've just been good online and actually don't have that much experience together on tier one lads. And as you say, they lost to Astralis, who, even though in isolation is actually doing pretty decently with that roster, they're not the Astralis of the old days. This isn't like you're losing to Divides and all those old players. This is like a roster that, like, they're not even a team that makes playoffs, mate. So yeah, no, you look at that. This is a whole new kettle of fish. This is like the law that FaZe is not. I'm with you. This technically probably is the worst FaZe clan ever. In fact, I'll give you like a mathematical reason why. So I've actually looked up his name because it's really hard to remember. But it, like everyone else, I follow those two people on Twitter, Jesper Larsen 222 and Mischief CS2, because they're the two people who basically do all the like VRS posting about like, you know, who needs this point and all that. And obviously it's really hard to understand that, but he makes it really clear, the Jesper Larsen guy. And essentially the way VRS is constructed, because FaZe made the final of the major, if they just had normal results, they were guaranteed to be in the major next time round. It's almost impossible to not. But they have done so badly, Pimp, I've got the tweet right here, that the upcoming results could mean they missed the major. So if at this blast now they get less than two wins, they will miss the major apparently. If they get two wins, listen to the way this is phrased, if they get two wins, they have a decent chance for a stage one spot, and then they need three plus wins to like just secure the major outright. That's why, guys, they're signing up for Draculan. Essentially, think about how bad this is. You were in the final of the major less than 3 months later, or about 3 months later. You're doing what like people like last year, like Brandy Ross's like Nip were trying to do to get into the major, and Fnatic and all these squads we all considered failed projects that were irrelevant at tier one. Like, that is almost impossible. So the point is, if you're in the final of a major, you'd figure you'd have made like one playoff by now, you know, like maybe a PGL, or at least you'd have picked up some more land wins. Like, the idea you have three and one's BC game, that's terrible. Like, you'd think even if you come no playoffs, you'd have, you know, five, six series wins. I mean, again, the Pro League one was a layup. That, again, if I renamed the Pro League, bro, to RMR, no one would feel sorry for FaZe not making the major if that was the run they had. Everyone would go, well, you don't deserve it. Look who you fucking lost to. So I know what you mean. The actual point we're really making here is, I guess people are slightly too hyperbolic when they criticise FaZe for not being like a top eight team, because like these players don't deserve it. But it's worse. I agree with you, Pimp. This team, if they keep it together, literally could drop out the top 20. I don't think that's impossible. Like, I've been watching this last couple of tournaments. Obviously, I do a lot of betting stuff. Normally, teams like FaZe, in a low-key way, I actually love to bet on. I'll give you an example. Last year, I bet on the Liquid lineup they have now loads of times, because what I would do is wait until like now, when it had lost a bunch of big games. But then if you played like a small team, that's when I take you, because the odds are awesome then. Bro, I don't even take FaZe ever now. Like, when I'm even in my brain doing that thing of like, you know, you imagine the best case scenario, like Copium, I always have a hard time even figuring out how are they going to beat like even Astralis. Like, man, I was taking Astralis on that side all day long. Like, it's just obvious they should win. And I know what you mean. Like, as I said earlier, even the whole thing of like, well, the reason why they're only two moves away from the top again is because you've got Kerrigan, Twists and Frozen, right? Frozen's level dropped a little bit, although he was pretty good at this recent tournament. Twists' level's just dropped completely. And the biggest problem with Kerrigan is, I think people saw this the last 2 years in the other FaZe lineups, Kerrigan relies on having star players. Like, he himself isn't fucking Glaive, mate. He's not going to frag out and IGL. So the IGL is just not going to be effective without the players to do it. And I'll give you one last angle as well. Right, one thing I hate, Pimps, I started to do this a few years ago, because Team Liquid was notorious for this. You know when Team Liquid had Aussie for like 2 years or something crazy? Yeah. And every time I ever said they should kick him, a bit like Ultimate now, fans would do the thing that they all do in CS2 now, where they'd go, well, who are we going to recruit instead? Like, people cost money. So what I started to learn to do was, you keep a track of people who end up being cheap or free, who you could have had instead. So obviously everyone always says Dexter, right, in this case. Mate, you just said it with Astralis. Right now, I'd take Fozzy over Brokey any day. Like, I actually has some upside. If you want Riflers, what? How is it possible, Pimp, that the place where Senzu goes to trial is Passion UA? Why isn't he trialing in FaZe, bro? And then if it works, you sign him. Great. If you don't, then you live. You know what I mean? These are ones where, like, these are just, like, available for anyone. I'm pretty sure all these players say yes to FaZe Clan instead of fucking Passion UA or sit on a bench or go. You know what I mean? That just seems implausible. So that's why what you said at the end is probably the most alarming thing. Realistically, the most disturbing thing is, everyone speculated, do they not have money? Are they fine with this roster? Are they unhappy? Is Kerrigan going to retire? By the way, there's the alarming thing. If you've seen any of these market websites, that number goes up and up and up on, will Kerrigan retire? And I used to go, no, don't be silly. Tell you what, the worse it gets, mate, the more you start thinking, that becomes an option. Like, do I just quit the whole project instead of like having to kick three people or something mental? So that's the most disturbing thing. It's like, right now, no one has any clue how they get out of this mess. Like, it's implied to me, mate, if they go to like a Dracula and a Bob and don't make the major, all of a sudden, all those extreme things of like people retiring or just quitting the team, they seem like they become plausible to me. I mean, look, the only one I don't think it seems plausible logically is Twist, because why would he come back? He was going to leave immediately. But even then, surely he doesn't want to play like this. I mean, I'm sure he was unhappy with Liquid, but the joke is, you could argue the Liquid Twist is better than this, mate.
Yeah, true. I think that, to me, that's the biggest question mark, because I think what adds to the noise is obviously what happened with FaZe Clan and the whole, let's say, the content creator know, part of FaZe Clan, and how they divided the two companies. So FaZe Esports is one thing, and the FaZe organization is a different. But I can't imagine that hasn't, you know, affected the budget, you know, in some sense. And I think that's where they're at right now, because if I know Kerrigan right, like, he would not stand up for this. Like, he would not be okay with being part of this project for this long, with results that were this lackluster. You know, again, if you look at FaZe in the last 12 months and you take away the major, you take away that massive, you know, major run they had, you know, a couple of months ago, it's been a year of just like a terrible, terrible, terrible year. Even Kerrigan said it after the major, that this has been the worst year of his career. And that was even making a final at the major, you know, with FaZe Clan. So you take away that, then what does the last 12 months make FaZe Clan? So, yeah, I'm curious. If anything, I think the positive spin-off and the interesting angle for me is, okay, this opens up a lot of possibilities for a lot of different teams who could use some of those individuals from FaZe Clan. Yes. You know, as I said, you know, I the brand FaZe, yeah, it'd be nice if it stayed in Counter-Strike. Yeah, I don't want the organization, I don't want the legacy, I don't want the team per se to die, but it seems almost inevitable that that's going to happen at this point, unless they, as you said, like, I'm not sure how they keep together a strong core of that lineup. I'm not sure how you convince Kerrigan, Frozen, and Twist, for that matter, you know, to stay together, unless you can replace Brokey and Jacob with two world-class players, or these players you see a big potential in. If anything, I would be looking at my own way out. If I'm Frozen, we spoke about it, could he go to Na'Vi? That would be super freaking interesting if he went there, right? If you're Twist, you're going to have a lot of different options as well to join different teams. We're going to talk about G2 later on as well. They could use a Twist. They could use a Frozen. They could use a Kerrigan for that matter as well, you know. So if anything, the positive spin and the interesting part about FaZe imploding, because that's already happened. Let's not beat around the bush, you know. Even if they were to make the major, even if they were to win a couple of games in Rotterdam, you know, and magically play decent Counter-Strike, what they've been doing for the last 12 months is evidence enough, you know. I don't even care if we're quote-unquote wrong about them imploding or not winning games. Like, I'm not even sure I want to say that. They could probably win a couple of games in Rotterdam. They could probably do decent at Dragonland. They could probably, you know, somehow, some way be the last team to qualify for the major. I wouldn't even be surprised if that's the case. But again, we're holding them up to a standard where I expect FaZe to be a team that I want to talk about in playoff contention, you know, and they're nowhere near that, regardless of what's going to happen the next couple of weeks. So if anything, to me, the interesting part is, where does Twist end up? Where does Frozen end up? Does Kerrigan decide to go for another project somewhere else, or could he potentially retire? I sure as hell hope that he won't, you know, but if anything, I'm licking my lips right now if I'm G2, if I'm Na'Vi, if I'm some of these teams, you know, who needs potentially to sign some good players. You know, the Thieves project, are we really convinced about them, you know, figuring it out with the current lineup? Probably not. As you said, that's going to be a build in progress. Could they convince a Frozen to join Thieves? You know, wouldn't that be interesting? Or Twist, or both of them all of a sudden, and you reunite Rain, Frozen, Twist in Thieves? That would be quite interesting, you know, also in terms of VIS. So I think there's a lot of possibilities and a lot of different angles that makes it exciting. But for FaZe as a unit and for FaZe as a team, call them dead, call them washed up, call them whatever you want. That team is done for.
Also, I'll give you a couple of other things. One, when everyone on the topic of Vitality winning the Grand Slam looked and saw that even if they don't win Rio, and obviously they're not a pro league, they have that Atlanta where it's like an easy field. I'm going to use that to make an extreme point about FaZe. On paper, FaZe, by the way, is one of like the top three teams, I think, at the time of invitation, because like it was like Vitality, Na'Vi, and FaZe, I think, was the top teams there. On paper, that should be like an automatic semis or quarters. Bro, I'm going to make a prediction right now. If they keep this five-man roster, that team might not even make the playoffs. That's possible. I know they probably should when you look at the team, but I look at some of those other squads, and again, like I say, at this point in CS2, mate, you can't look past those like 10 to 20 teams. Some of those are fucking good squads, mate. I mean, we talked about some of the past, those Foots of the world, I don't know if they're actually at the event. Those teams will get you, mate. Astralis, these teams can, not only have they, but they will beat you at the lands. And then the one last thing I'll say, because listen, in true Thorin style, I understand my brand, mate, and I'm always just true to who I am, the obnoxious reality of who I am, is, you know what? If you were one of those people about a year ago who was going, well, Thorin, you think this Elise guy is good, but he is messing up the vibes in FaZe. One, Elise was so fucking good compared to some of the players they have now in FaZe. Like, he was their T-side, if you remember. He had, like, really good numbers. Yeah. And also, that's why I say you have to put it in perspective. Bro, we thought it was bad FaZe first season last year because they were relevant and they would just make quarters and semis and that would be it. Like, mate, I would fucking take that in a heartbeat over what they got now. Like, there was something going on there. Like that joke is now, all of a sudden, like, Elise, like, looks decent. And obviously, the one thing they've never recovered from, even though they had that major final run, is... Before they played the playoffs of the Austin Major, when they won that amazing series over Mongols and they had Simple and Liege, man, that seems like a dream now. Like, wouldn't every FaZe fan just fucking give their right arm to have that lineup play out the rest of the second season and see what happens? Like, all of a sudden, the excitement, that's also why I think makes this FaZe clan sort of suck pim, is everyone in CS felt like they were on the hype train for what could have been with that Simple FaZe. And then we had it, like, the rug was pulled out from under us. And then ever since then, it's just felt like whatever you were offered was some, like, the fucking, you know, we've got McDonald's at home meme of, like, nah, it's just some fucking shit one that mum made, like, God, onions hanging out. It's just like, we got that feeling, you know. Here's why it's sad. The last thing I'll say on FaZe, maybe I'll cue you up for something here, is this. I don't like actually hating on FaZe. If people don't know, I'm mad biased towards all Carrigan teams. I was a big fan of Twists. Obviously, I love the Liege, Simple. I actually low-key want FaZe to do the shit they did in that major, and I love it when the idea you've got this team that, like I consider them like the modern VP, where it's like, you want them in the major playoffs because they could test the new squad, or they could take the legendary team to the limit, and they play to the crowd. Obviously, I want them to be awesome, but I know what you mean. Like, there's a point at which you can delude yourself, and I agree with the mercy killing analogy. I'm actually trying to be kind to Carrigan by being like, bro, this is, no, it won't work again. Don't. There's no boot camp can make it work. There's no fucking positive vibes. There's no, like, tactical change. There's no veto change. Like, you have to just accept it. You have to rip the band-aid off really quickly and just get on with the next roster. Because if anything, by the way, in fact, maybe that's the last thing I'll say. Maybe it would even be a blessing if they don't make the major mix. If you don't make the major, surely you have to just make a roster move then, like, immediately, pretty much. Surely you just start immediately with a big list, and then during the major, you just go down the list and get the next player. You got it right.
Yeah, but that's the thing that actually pisses me off, because I think we're beyond that point already. I agree, if they don't make a major, then it's a no-brainer, obviously. But it already is a no-brainer. Like, sure. Already by now, the result so far this season makes it a no-brainer. And again, maybe it's because of VS. Maybe if they actually were to change roster now, then they would be in severe danger of not making the major. They wouldn't be able to afford it, right, to lose the few points they have gathered together. So maybe that's part of the equation. Maybe it is the finances. I don't know, you know, but we're past the point where... We're past the point where it's not a no-brainer anymore. But I agree, you know, I also do not want to hate on FaZe. I also do think that they have been one of the most entertaining teams to follow and watch for a long, long time. I've said it many, many times, you know, Brokey was at a point one of my favorite players to watch because he was just defying logic, you know.
He was an entertainer, he was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. He was just playing on intuition, you know.
Yeah.
From a stylistic point of view, great fit in towards FaZe Clan. Arguably not the smartest player ever, you know, but he played to his strengths and he was always fun to watch, even when he was struggling a little bit. But even now, it's hard to get excited about Brokey in any fashion, and that's how I feel for the entirety of the FaZe Clan. Like, it's hard to find any angle that gets me excited about it. As I said before, the only thing that makes me excited when I talk about FaZe is where could I place these players in different teams, and that's kind of sad when you look at the team as a whole. So, yeah, I think we're beyond the point where, you know, the cynic in me as well would be like, okay, fuck it. Let's make sure they don't qualify for the major. Let's not waste a major spot, you know, on a team that is dead regardless in that sense. You know, I'd rather see Foot make it. I would rather see some upcoming players make it. I would rather see some of those players, you know, that has a future building their legacy, building their careers, make it. Because, as I said, I'm sure if Carrigan wants to continue his career, he can most definitely find a team that is going to qualify for the next major, you know, in Buenos Aires or whenever they want to play that, or in Shanghai, obviously, for PGL. If you're Twist, you're going to find a team that's going to be part of a major. If you're Frozen, you can find a team that's going to be part of the major. I'd even say Jacob, you know, go to Gamer Legion. There's a decent chance that you're in contention to make the major. But FaZe as a team is not interesting, you know, so... I agree, you know, if it was up to me, and obviously it's not, you know, and if they do qualify for the major, then obviously they deserve it, you know, but at this point, don't qualify for the major, implode as quickly as possible, join good teams, spread out, you know, and then see what happens, because that is the only, I guess, interesting thought that I can have when I think of FaZe right now. Even having to cover them, I did some of the prep for Rotterdam, you know, for the group stages. Well, I'm like, if I'm covering the Face versus Aurora game, I'm it's gotta be a tough sell, you know, to say why is this game exciting? Well, it's exciting for the one reason that if your Aurora is beating Face, then yeah, hallelujah. You know, we all expect that, and you're beating a dead horse. And if Face somehow, some way win against Aurora, it's like, okay, where does that leave us? You know, big fat question mark. So it's very hard to build narratives that makes it interesting to follow Face journey right now, because even if they were to get a couple of wins, like there's nothing that suggests that that's gonna be sustainable. When they beat BC game, you know, in a close game, didn't really get me excited. When they beat Monty, you know, doesn't really get me excited. Beating Heroic with a stand-in, it's not like sure. Then the following game you're like, oh, okay, maybe they beat Astralis. They make them like, then they go in against Astralis at Klushnapoka and they lose, was it 13-5, 13-7, without even making the game remotely competitive. And I'm like, what's the point here, guys? Like, why are we even trying? You know, why don't you make a roster change? Why don't you explode the team now, you know, and maybe make sure there's a future for FaZe, or you build up for the second part of the season, which is also what makes me believe that that team is going to implode. You know, if I'm Kerrigan and if my vision is to stay in FaZe, which he, I believe he said during the major, like he wants to stay in FaZe,
yes,
and he wants to maybe even finish his career in FaZe. If that's the goal, if that's your vision, then take responsibility and do something about it now. So instead of, you already messed up the first part of the season, right? You already messed up, you know, that you're not going to be in contention to win Cologne, or you're not even going to be in contention to go to the playoff unless some miracle happens. But if your intention is to stay within FaZe Clan for the rest of your career until you retire, then I feel like now is when you take responsibility. Now is when you take some rough decisions, and then you build towards the summer break and you build towards the second part of the season, because that's how big of a gap you have to close now. It's not just, you know, one roster change and you're back in contention. It's arguably going to be a bigger project to get back to it. So I feel like it's a lack of initiative. It's a lack of trying almost. And that's what's making me, you know, also not buying into to even caring about FaZe. It's like if you're not showing me that you're trying, at least by making a roster change, by doing something drastic, by, I don't even know, coming out saying publicly that we know, you know, and we know that some players are getting cut, or we know that this team is going to be done for if we like apply some pressure from within or whatever, that they're basically giving me nothing right now to work with. And that is also why it's super, super hard to even care to some degree. And just saying that out loud, you know, from being one of the most entertaining teams in history of Counter-Strike, yes, to a team where, why should we care? You know, and I don't blame anyone. I don't blame any fan. I don't blame anyone who follows Counter-Strike. If their attitude right now towards FaZe is, why should I even care? Why should I even tune into the game? You know, if they're playing in a weekday at Blast at 12 o'clock, you know, some people will tune in while they're at work, you know, because they want to watch their favorite team. Why would you even go the extra mile right now to tune into a FaZe game? I don't blame people for me. Like, fuck it, we'll skip it. I'll see the results. And probably I'm getting what I'm expecting, which is another L to the record.
That's the headline. The headline should be like, why should we care about FaZe? That's the way you phrase it. That's the change in perspective. Also, one last thing. If you're one of these Polish fanboys who's done so much work over the last year or so on the Snacks angle, on fucking Jacob, I'll tell you how, I'll show you that we're not biased against Polish players. Mate, if you tell me they're signing ex Kaspersky, now I'm interested. That's a good fucking point. That player could probably do some of FaZe. The problem is that, because if you don't know, by the way, without making a whole side thing, because I can't be fucking arsed, mate. Oh, don't worry, the Jacob Polish fans are still going, bro. But they've now decided, because they're so fucked in the head, is that like it's other players like Twist and Frozen taking his like shine in the game. It's like, great. So now what we're doing is, because you're Polish and we aren't, you're going to pretend that Twist and Frozen are shit at CS so that Jacob's secretly good and it's not his fault. And then at what point in time are you just the fanboy? Like, why do you, by the way, why are we not allowed to disrespect legend Hall of Famer Jacob, but you're allowed to talk shit on Twist because he had like a bad 2 months at CS? Fuck right off. Anyway, that's the side. Right, what I would say is this now. Let's just talk about some G2. We set it up there. Look, compared to FaZe, G2's fine, mate. They win games, make the odd play. But the problem is they themselves have issues. Like, if you consider last year, this is the team that not only won an event, bro, they beat Vitality in a best of five final. Like, in history, that's going to go down as like a pretty cool piece of trivia. Like, who beat Vitality in a BO5 final? Almost nobody was beating them. It was Fury and like the odd team. So that should mean, basically, if you remember, that was quite early in the roster, like, oh, there's real potential here. A lot of us even said you still had to even consider them, you know, a fringe dark horse for the major. Maybe they could make a playoff from there. Maybe they could go deep. Obviously, they didn't make the playoffs since then. Yeah, they made the Krakow playoffs, but they didn't do much there. They lost to Mouse, who just handled them quite easily. Aside from that, this team's clearly had its issues. Now, I notice a lot of shows now have also started to focus a bit on G2, partly because it's also G2. That's a giant org, mate. You look at the team. Actually, the funny thing is, G2 is way more in the old FaZe perspective. I was saying, they do look like they're like, you know, one or two pieces from being really good. Like, there's some quality pieces in this team. There's some quality elements. With that said, Let's just go to the harsh part. Right, what is holding them back, Pimp? Because there's times I get tricked by this team. Like, I actually think there's occasions when I watch them play and I'm like, actually, this T-side isn't that bad, actually. And you know what? Maybe Hunter's doing a decent job as an IGL. Every now and then people frag out. Like, obviously, people will know the last month or so if St. Pius has a good game. Suddenly, they're in it. They can match up with a lot of top teams. They can even take them close. They can beat a lot of the mid-tier quite handily. But also, they're a team that drops series here and there where you're kind of shocked by some of the teams that are. So what is holding them back right now? What stops them being good?
I think they're too average in a lot of different departments, to be completely honest. And I say average in comparison to who they're competing against. You know, as you said, like G2, we expect them to be a top 8 team. We expect them to be like in that mid-pack of teams that is going to contend for playoff every single time. And I think when you look at how the players perform in their respective roles, it's just a little bit too average. I think the only one who is basically doing what he's supposed to do and what his talent is also requiring him to do is Evigard. I think we spoke about him a couple of times. I think he's great, you know, and I think over the last 9 months, you know, basically ever since they won that event in was it London, at the Blast London tournament, I think he's been doing great. You know, I think he's been doing his job and he should be happy. He should be proud about it. I think Malps has been very disappointing. You know, he's had even decent games. He's having glimpses and he's having games where he's like, oh, more of that, you know, and then maybe, you know, and then he's going to have a couple of rough games not doing too well, and it's hard to buy into. And I think that's the case for a lot of the players. I think Mattis as well, he was such an interesting prospect at Blast London, you know, playing so well, yes. So sharp aim-wise, and you think to yourself, okay, really? This signing from Fnatic, maybe he's better than we suspected. Maybe he's actually going to elevate this lineup to be in contention for the playoff every single time, but he's also a bit average, you know. Hunter, I agree. Is he a bad in-game leader? No. Is he a great in-game leader? No. Is he average in comparison to who he's up against? Yeah, I'd say so. And I think when you have a team where basically 4 out of 5 elements on pay is the same, had a decent pro league, but again, he's average in the field of AWP players, I'd say. Yes. If 4 out of 5 elements within your team is average, then I guess what we're getting from G2 right now is exactly what we can expect then, because a lot of the games they play, you know, then they lose a relatively close game to Vitality where they take off a map inclusion in poker, yep. They lose 2-1 and you're like, okay, that's fair enough, that's okay. You lose 2-1 to Paravision in a very close game as well, and you're like, yeah, you can excuse that, that's somewhat respectable. Then they get a couple of wins, they beat Na'Vi at certain tournaments, they beat teams, you know, that is okay, that's a good result, maybe build on that. It's like they're kind of like back and forth right now where they're like, yeah, they're ranked number 10 in the world, and I think they're playing like a team who's ranked number 10 in the world, and I think that's fair enough, you know, when 4 out of 5 of your players, at least in my opinion, are performing on an average level compared to where I expect them to be. Because as you said as well, when you look at the name value, when you look at the prospect in a guy like Melts, who we thought was gonna do better, then yeah, we expect a bit more. Son Payas as well. I mean, was he the 6th best player in the world, the 7th best player in the world, you know, 3 years ago in CSGO, you know, in the conversation about being a top 3 upper, you know, in the later stages of CSGO before we switched to CS2, do we expect a bit more from him? Yeah, we do. Do we expect more from Mattis after what he showed at London? Yeah, we do. But I feel like most of the elements within G2 is just average to me. Like, there's no clear star outside of Heavyguard, and I think you said it pretty well a couple of episodes ago when we spoke about it. It's when you look at his position, and maybe it was Maui as well. I don't know if you had
a
conversation. Yeah, exactly. It's like, he's not the player. Like, the star of your team is the role player. Yes. The star of the team is Heavyguard. He's not going to win games for you every single time. He's not going to drag you over the finish line like a Simple did in Na'Vi back in the old days. So like a Saivu sometimes does in Vitality. He's not in the position to drag you out of a shitty scenario. That's Malps. Like, you're looking towards Malps, he's the guy who can do that. You're looking towards Mattis, he's the guy who's supposed to do that. And Son Payas, for that matter, with the AWP. But your star player and your best performer is also in the least impactful position, sort of, when the rest of the team is not playing well. You know, in order for Heavyguard to have an awful lot of impact, he needs the other aspects of the team to do well. He cannot come in and clutch around, you know, by playing anchor roles if Melps didn't get an opening, or at least give him a 3v3 or gives him a 3v4. If Heavyguard is left in a 1v4 and a 1v3 and a 2v5 every single round, then it's limited how much he can do. So I think that's the way I want to summarize G2's problems right now. It's not that I'm looking at one player, I'm like, you are the catalyst behind these bad results, or you are the one that needs to go. I think there's a case to be made that 4 out of 5 players are performing average compared to where we'd expect them to be. And what it requires for G2 to become relevant again is just for 2 of the 4 players to have a slightly upticking form, I'd say. But that's been a long time where that hasn't happened now. So again, we speak about, you know, giving teams time. We speak about having faith in them turning around the ship. I mean, what's supposed to change the next couple of months leading up to the Cologne major that you know wasn't able to be changed the last couple of months. So I'm also starting to be, for G2's sake at least, you know, that's a team that they'll beat a couple of good teams, you know. They'll be at the major as well, and they'll probably get it to stage two. But making the playoff, I don't really see it as of right now. Maybe occasionally if they have a good game. But yeah, it's just one of those teams that I'm not really too upset about them not performing better than they are, because I think, as I said, when they are the 10th ranked team in the world right now with the way they play, I'm not really upset about that. I think that's a fair representation. Beat NIP as well to make it to stage two in Pro League. I think that's a fair representation. They're doing better than NIP, but not by a lot. But outside of that, it's hard to believe that G2 right now as a team is another team that could potentially push Vitality or push Furia or push any of the good teams that are major in Cologne.
Yeah, as you were saying, if people actually go through, just this year alone, they actually had a game against both Vitality, if you go way back to Cruiser Poker, and then they had one against Spirit where both times they almost won these series, bro. These could have been like 2-0s for G2, but they lost. So they show glimpses, like I say, where you're like, maybe there's something to that. Like, actually, you look at the names again here, this is not a bad roster of players. Also, well, since you were bringing it up, sadly, I do also think when I look at this roster, though, this is another roster which in CSGO would be mega GMing. This would be like, yeah, you killed it. The problem is it just doesn't work very well in CS2, which sadly seems like a trend with some of the teams we've had out there, like the Liquids of the World, etc., where it looks like you're signing the right players, but just the blend hasn't worked, or you haven't emphasized the right element. Because I do think the obvious problem is, I notice everyone seems to agree with that narrative I have about Heavy God Pro, which is nobody criticizes. In fact, we all think he's really good. The joke is, absolutely, if it wasn't, depending on which nationality you consider his primary one, if it wasn't for the fact I don't imagine he can be signed to Falcons, he should be in that like bit category of like, if you want to sign the star anchor, this is the guy you fucking sign. He's obviously really good. The problem is, though, to me, anchor, this is actually why JKS, who was a worse anchor when he was in G2, was doing a great job. His job was just raise the floor of like how bad an anchor can be. The problem I think in this case is the best anchor in the world doesn't really like carry games, that like you say. It's not a 1v9 position. Like, if you think about it logically on CT side, you're just going to be on your own, aren't they? If they all die, you can get a few exit kills, but you can't like win the round 1v5 every time. So that already is a problem. In fact, and here's how cynical it is too, bro. If you ever go and look, two of their best maps are Ancient and Inferno. Those are literally just the maps where Heavy God mega carries, bro. Like, on those two maps, he averages a 1.34 rating. Bruh, on two of your best maps. Yeah. Like, yeah, this guy's killing it. Like, I don't have any blame for him. If anything, he's the best thing about their team. The problem is, I agree, there's not even a player I think is actively bad. Like, yeah, I agree. I think Malbs has had his issues, but I also think Malbs and Matisse together, who work together in the game, they clearly have some sort of, like, they haven't ever really made a great partnership, a great duo, you know? Like, in that sense, I actually feel mildly sorry for Malbs. Yeah, he went from fucking Nico, probably one of the best players to play with, to an up-and-coming player. Like, if people don't know, the story last year when they did this roster move was for the Matisse position. I think it was that position. They were considering between the aforementioned Dex Kaspersky, who ended up in NIP, and Matisse. So it would have been an up-and-coming player anyway, but it just hasn't gelled as a squad. It's why actually the hardest part about this team for me is the whole Hunter part. Because on the one hand, I want to go, well, you have some good players, you haven't got many results. That's the one where you normally diss an IGL. But on the other side, I also think to myself, yeah, you haven't really got any big weapons, though, have you? Like, again, having us playing his game, mate, he's not the guy on team side that you control. And so it's hard to read how good the tactic is, if you know what I mean. So I have a hard time making that call. And with you, though, I definitely think the real problem is this. If I project forwards, this team should be at the major. That's obvious. I mean, with you, they'd probably have a good chance of making it through most of the stages, mate. The issue is, if they get to stage three, and I'm starting in my mind to whittle down who are the eight teams going to be for the playoffs, they could make it. But then by no means like a shoo-in. And quite frankly, this might sound mean, I don't actually know if I want to see him in the playoffs, mate. Like, I might bang on Mouse because they don't win tournaments. I'd way rather see Mouse play. I might even take squads people think I'm not a fan. I might even rather see Aurora or someone play in the playoffs. Maybe they've got more upside. But even, you know what? I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. Everyone, cover your ears, kids. I might even want to see fucking Paravision. I can't. You know what? Maybe that's their biggest victory this year. They've won me over that. I might even want to see, at least they can play playoff games, bro. Because that's the other bummer for me. The one playoff this season was the Kraku one. That was garbage. That was a fucking whack match. Mouse was there for the taking. Everyone was hating on them. That was the perfect time to get them. Then he'd have played the Vitality team again, the one he gave a close get. everything's possible there. Now, who gives a fuck now, you know? I know this is another team where it's like, I don't have the vitriol as I do with FaZe Clan, but I do also think to myself, I don't care what, even if you're at the major and you have an okay result, you got to make a move, come on. Because I think the rest of the team, I could see, it might only even be one move, mate. I don't know what one move it would even be, but one move I feel like could make this team like just the fifth best team or the sixth best team or something. This one's way more fixable than FaZe.
Yeah, that's where the difference, you know, because I agree. I think one chest roster change could be the make it or break it for G2. Because as I said, like all it takes is one or two players to not be average anymore and actually live up to the potential that we think they have. And if you bring in, you know, new blood to the team, new energy, whether that is instead of Hunter as an in-game leader or instead of Malps in a position in the game where if you get a player that's actually performing and giving life to the team, and again, it's not that I want to replace Hunter. It's just that when you look at the impact a new in-game leader can have, then that can lift up an entire team. You know, if you look at the impact a new entry figure can have that comes in and plays well instead of a guy like Malps, that can lift up the entirety of the team and bring some of those players out of their, I guess, average habits to some degree. And that's, you know, I'm with you on that one. I'm not sure where that change needs to be made. I'm not sure what position that needs to be. If anything, I will say, and that's something I thought about right now, you know, I think Saul was one of the, if not the hottest prospect as a coach, you know, when he moved from, was it from, what is that?
Havu? Oh, Ents before, when you went to Ents, yes, of course, yes.
Ents into Heroic into G2, right? I think he's also now, I'm questioning either Saw or, you know, and the example I'm going to use is Malps, because if Saw cannot make Malps feel comfortable and he cannot make Malps perform within G2, is it then Malps that's an issue? And is he not good enough as a player as we thought he would be? Or is it Saw who's, you know, who haven't figured out how to use a prospect like Malps? It's always that one thing, you know, when you see it all the time in football. You have a coach for a Premier League team, you know, Anthony, probably the greatest example in Manchester United, you know, an absolute bomber in United. Looked like arguably one of the bottom feeders in Premier League. Couldn't get anything done. Goes to La Liga, goes to, is it Real Betis? Yeah. You know, and all of a sudden he's like a top 10 player in La Liga. Like he's playing wonderful football and he's making assists, he's making goals and he looks like a new player. Is that the coach who couldn't get anything out of that player? And is that the coaching staff's fault that Anthony didn't work out in United? Or is it Anthony who's mentally, you know, couldn't cope with the pressure in United, couldn't cope with the Premier League way of playing football, then goes to Real Betis, then goes to La Liga and all of a sudden, you know, blossom? Like, it's very hard to put the blame on one side or another without being the coach himself or being the player or with being a player on a team who opens up and speaks publicly about it in an interview. So we'll always be guessing, but that's where I'm at right now with G2. I'm not sure if I want to put the blame on Malps as an individual. Is he not cut for it in G2? Is he not cut for that role, that kind of responsibility? Did it only work out because he had Nico and Monesi next to his side? That's when he was, you know, freed up to take extra liberties in the game. That's when he freed up and felt like he could go for some risky plays and play a bit more pucky, a bit more FPL style almost, because he knew that even if it's a 4v5, well, Nico's going to bring it back or Monesi's going to bring it back. He doesn't have that luxury right now in G2. He's well aware that if he dies first and he leaves the team in a 4v5, you know, G2 is more likely to lose the round than win the round, whereas beforehand when you had Monesi and Nico, that was different. Or do I put the blame on Saw, who hasn't been able to figure out how to use a guy like Malps would in G2? Probably it's a combination of both, and that's again what I want to revert back to. It's very hard to sit right here and be like, that's the issue, or that player's the issue, or Saw is the issue. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people within G2 right now who has a lot of potential, who are not getting the most out of their careers right now, you know, who are not getting the most out of the player material. And if I'm Saw, if I'm G2, you know, look towards FaZe. Like, what happens if you bring in a guy like Twist instead of Malts? Wouldn't that be a banger team all of a sudden? Wouldn't that be a team that would get you excited? It would for me. I agree with you. I think one cool roster change, one roster change that makes the entire team click, that could make them a top five team. Wouldn't you say that Kerrigan instead of Honda would instantly make that team way more
That'd
interesting?
That would be mega exciting, bro.
That would be super, super exciting. Having Kerrigan work with Malps, having Kerrigan work with Mattis, you know, or maybe even having Kerrigan and Frozen or Kerrigan and Twist join together. You know, there's definitely potential within G2. It's as you said, it's not as bad as FaZe. It's definitely savable in some degree. But I agree with you. I'm getting to the point now where, I can understand if they want to ride it out, you know, to after the Cologne Major. But then if that's not a playoff team, if that's not a good tournament for them, or if they haven't had a good tournament leading up to the Major, then probably I would make a roster change. But I could also justify doing it now, you know, leading up to Cologne, because there's a great likelihood, as I understand it, that with the VIS still, that they will make it, maybe just only to stage one or stage two or whatnot, you know. But even if they were to make a roster change now, they will still be relatively safe, I'd say, in making it to the majors. So I can see both sides to it right now. But I agree with you. You know, if I were to forecast, will they be in stage one of the major? Sure. Stage two? Sure. Will they be in stage three? Maybe. Will they be part of the playoff? A big maybe. And that's where I want to put G2 right now. It's not that I lost hope in them. It's just that they're not as exciting as I would like them to be as of right now.
I'll even say, I actually think they're another example of a team where surely if you're fit G2, you also should be looking around the scene going, listen, if any of these other top teams that haven't made big names work don't want those players to make roster moves, I'll take whoever it is. Like, I was thinking through people who might end up getting kicked or leaving a team. Bro, the phase ones are good examples, but I was even thinking of other ones, like obviously Liquid might make a roster move. Mate, if they kick either Nerds or Elise, we take them immediately. We'll have them tomorrow. If Falcons kick the aforementioned Tessis, welcome to fucking G2. I'll even give you one that people might not realise is a viable one, but if everyone wants to put a big rifler in Na'Vi, if they ever kick Immer, listen, I'm not even the biggest Immer fan, I'd try making him work in the squad. These are all like pieces where it's the same logic. Maybe they didn't work in the last team in the last exact lineup, but you can refurbish this player and bring him into one of these squads, especially some of those earlier names like Nerds or something, man. That would even be reuniting with Solik. That guy's made him work in two different teams. I'd do that signing tomorrow, even if it's a cheap one, because Liquid doesn't believe in him anymore. Like, I feel like there's so many players you could take if you're G2, like, you get there. And the difference is, the FaZe example we were given earlier, the other downside, Pimp, is even if they had the money, there's a lot of players who were good who were going to go, I don't know if I want to join this team. I feel like there'd be way less of a problem with G2. Like, first of all, it's a mega org as well, much better org actually than FaZe Clan right now. And then secondly, it's a very nice squad of players. Like, you look at this team, you're walking into a team which could immediately become very good. And by the way, if you're the new player, you'll get a lot of the credit. Like, if you're Nerds or someone, you reunite now and they become like the fifth best team, you'll get mad credit for this. That'll put you in like HLTV top 20 status or something.
Yeah. There's definitely possibilities, and there's definitely players that you'd get in and sign straight away. But that's the point I was trying to make, right? Do you do that now, or is it even possible now, or do you do it after the major? Because I think that's, again, this silly season, I thought it was going to be crazier than it was. Great. I thought more was going to happen, right? But if anything, and history speaks for itself in that regard, that only means that the following transfer season is going to be even better. Like, if it was a quiet one here by the winter time, then after Cologne, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams who are not satisfied with what's going on. There's going to be a lot of teams who still have, I would say, a decent financial power, you know, who still have money to make big signings or to sign players who requires a lot in salary, et cetera, et cetera. So I think in terms of where the game is at right now and how healthy the economy is at and how you see like teams like the Thieves are coming in, you hear rumors about other big organizations who want to end the Counter-Strike. You hear rumors, you know, about, not even rumors anymore, you see TOs, you know, committing to 27 to 2018, you know, putting more money into it. Blast just announced that they're spreading more money into it. PGL just announced, you know, that they're putting more money into it. EFG has been putting in a lot. Like, all the TOs are basically outbidding themselves against each other right now. So in terms of revenue and in terms of liquidity for the organizations, should be plenty of money to play with. So I expect that the summer silly season, the summer transfer season, will be even more explosive, because as you said right there, you know, I can mention the first five big teams that I think will do something, you know, in Liquid, in FaZe, in Na'Vi, in G2, you know, let's see what happens with some of the teams as well in and around. Passion UA seems like a team who's willing to spend a lot of money, you know, to climb the ranks as well. So there's always going to be them. The Thieves, if they don't figure it out, you know, before Cologne, and if they don't look like a team that is making it to the tier one scene, you know, in the second part, they're probably also willing to invest a bit more in order to make that project work. So I think there's going to be a lot of money around, and there's going to be a lot of possibilities around. And in relation to G2, yeah, it's about being a team that also can attract that talent, because I think that's the biggest task right now. If you're Twist or if you're Frozen, if you can use FaZe as an example, right, you're looking around, well, Na'Vi is probably a potential destination. Liquid is a destination. G2 is a destination, right? So if you take those three as an examples, like if you're Frozen, you look at the project in G2, is that more appealing than whatever Liquid can offer?
One point also, by the way, why G2, like Na'Vi, is more of a favorable destination is they also have the coach. I imagine people also want to work with Saw. That's one area in FaZe. By the way, you notice we didn't even do it here. If you want to be a Polish fanboy, here's the question, dickheads. Why don't we criticize Neo all the time? Because the point is, everyone loves him so much. He's one of the most like, for me, he's a Mount Rushmore Counter-Strike player. He's in the four. Like, he's that. But the problem is, I do notice we pretend he doesn't exist. Like, does he never get any blame for anything? Does he not do anything? But I'll tell you what, that's how you know, sadly, that people don't respect him as a coach as much. He doesn't make FaZe a destination. Sora alone makes G2 a place I might consider going, as you're saying, if I'm some of these names, because maybe this guy can take me to the next level. Obviously, Blade is there. I think the joke is Blade is more of an attraction than the players in Na'Vi. I think everyone wants to be coached by Blade.
Yeah, I agree. And that's where it's going to come down to, you know, because there will be rush decisions. And at that point, if you're GMing G2 right now, you got to make sure that one thing is, you know, the outside perspective, you know, how you communicate in medias and how you communicate on social media for that matter as well, you know, but you got to make sure that your club and your organization and your project, you know, almost like they do in college football in America, like you got to sell them the vision that, hey, we're doing this, we're investing here, we have these kind of plans, you know, and we're foreseeing the future like this. And let's say that you're approaching, let's say Frozen were to go to G2 or Twist for that matter, like, make promises, you know, say, yeah, we're signing you now, that's a big investment, we promise you, if that doesn't work out within the next 3 months, then we're willing to invest even more so, like, we have these players in our scope right now, do you have a say, do you think that we should bring anyone, like, you kind of, like, lay it out to the player, where you don't give the player responsibility, but you make the player feel hurt, you know, or you make the player feel like he has a say in where the team is heading, you know, or what kind of direction the project is heading. And I think there's going to be a big battle between teams like Na'Vi, G2, maybe FaZe if they stay around, you know, for acquiring that talent and making sure that whatever project they can present to a guy like Frozen or a guy like Twist or a guy like Kerrigan for that matter is the most interesting project. And again, you know, that excites me about post Cologne. You know, I think Cologne as a major is obviously going to bang a lot. That's going to be crazy. It's going to be nice. It's great to have that back, especially now considering that Vitality is seeming, you know, unbeatable at this point. But even more so, you know, the 5 days after Cologne, you just know all the internal talks that's going to be during Cologne, and you know all the transfer rumors that's going to come out. I think the summer transfer season could be one of the coolest transfer seasons we're going to have in Counter-Strike history. Based on the fact that I feel like the TOs have now laid out the foundation for the next 3 years. You have a lot of the top teams. You have a lot of the money strong teams as well, not doing too well all at the same time. It would be different if everyone was okay, but it was only G2 struggling, or if it was only Na'Vi struggling, then you're a little bit more limited in what you can do. But it feels like there's a lot of that mid-pack field right now who are all struggling at the same time, not really getting the results that they would like at the same time, having players who are, I guess, mature enough to be sold or mature enough to move on. So in that regard, it does suck that, I guess, a way to phrase it would be that the competitiveness of the mid-pack right now seems a little bit lower level than I would like it to be. But I think that will be a positive heading into the summer transfer season, because then I think the second part of the year will be different. I think that will be way more competitive, and I think there'll be better teams as a result of more teams struggling right now.
The only problem is we did also promise people for the last three transfer windows, like, get ready, this next one's the really crazy one. And then, like, no, and then the joke is, like, I always say the real team that's holding up all of World Counter-Strike is fucking Mouse. Like, will you just get on and let those players go? Like, we can make about three or four contenders instead of you just sitting there not contending but beating everyone else. Because the other problem is, that's why I didn't mention any of the Mouse players for G2. Problem is, Mouse is better than G2, so you probably can't get them to bloody join. Because the same thing, if I have option for those players, if I could take Exertion and Torchy, I could probably make G2 to like the fifth best team tomorrow. The problem is they're going to go, well, I'm already in like the fourth best team, so why would I leave? So shit, I will lock on that one. I tell you what, the last topic we'll briefly touch on, because one, we're keeping the narrative thread going, you know, weaving it together as we do with our thing, but also because we're obnoxious fucking analysts who just like to tell everyone when we're right. Tell you what, Pimp, people thought it was too harsh at the beginning of the year when we were a bit harsh on Furia. You know what? What's happened? I don't think we were wrong, especially because, remember, we never said there'd be trash, bro. If anything, actually, I'll even say that. Actually, results like this Polygon, I'm actually shocked that they were that bad. Like, I do expect them to win most of their games. I do think, like, I have to say, here's the thing about Furia, maybe people wouldn't appreciate because obviously their fans hate me. Bro, I actually hold them in fairly high regard. Like, that's one of those teams where, because I do think at their best, they're pretty clutch, and, you know, I think they have a nice spread of players, they have nice strengths all over the team. I actually do have a hard time, again, when I'm doing betting against them. Like, I have to really see the right veto. I have to, you know, see some, like, extra players underperform. Because I look at Fury, and I do think they should be, like, a lock for every semi-final of every tournament. Like, whether they win it or not, that's separate. That's what we really discuss, is will they win trophies? But I like, the idea, for example, that this Pro League, they didn't even make the playoffs, is shocking to me. Like, what? Like I thought they would walk to it. So what are the thoughts on Fury at the moment? Because it does seem like overall, even though they're certainly, listen, compared to other teams we talked about this episode, they're fine. There's no problem. They can even keep their roster and go to the majors. Fine, they can even win the major. Let's see. But I do feel like they have also lost some of the luster, like the peak they showed in the second season last year, that when they had all those finals in a row, they looked so dangerous. Some of that Fury is gone for me. Like I do feel like it doesn't turn up as often as I'd like.
No, I agree. I don't want to do this too often, you know, but I think we were spot on when we did that episode. Because I agree. I think even after I did the episode with you, I was like, I was even being too nice and fair right there. You know, I think I said, yeah, they're going to be a top three team. They'll maybe win one trophy, but I think it's going to be tough for them to win a tier one trophy or at least more than one. Let's be honest, they're not really any closer to doing that right now. Like, the only way I see Freer winning a trophy right now is if Vitality is not attending the tournament. Whereas before heading into 25, or the last 3 months of 25, they'd beat Vitality to win the tournament. Right? Absolutely. They'd be the favorite heading into the major. Yes. People had them winning that major even though Vitality was at it, right? So they were a better team, per se. So I think it's more than fair to say that Freer is not as strong as they used to be. And I think my main argument and the main reason why I thought as I did, it was a hunch, you know, we're trying to predict the future. Nobody's really able to. But my hunch was that everything had to click and come together at the same time for Korea to be as good as they were. Ye Kinda all of a sudden coming back from, you know, a struggle some 2 years of his career. Yuri all of a sudden finding his probably best form ever. You know, he was great in the past and always been a massive Yuri fan, but he also had 2 years where he was just slightly above average, you know, considering what in Korea. He was back to his best, playing some wonderful anchor Counter-Strike and finding tons of impact for Furia. Fallen with the Rifle performed better than we expected. Caserado back to his absolute best. Molodoy, obviously, I don't think he is going to get any worse, but he was also performing at an extremely high level. So it felt like, okay, you have, just like with G2, where you have four or five elements who are all not really coming together at the same time, that's a bit unlucky, and that's kind of why they're struggling. For Furia, it felt like four out of five elements, maybe even five out of five elements, came together all at the same time. And all it takes for that to just drop 5% in level is if one of them doesn't perform as well as they did last season. And Yuri has been a great example so far. He's not been per se bad. He's great in clutches, you know, still finds a decent amount of impact, but he's nowhere near as good as he were in the last 3 months of 2025. Does that mean that it's Yuri's fault that Furia is not winning anymore? No, because I also think the same could be said for Fallen. I think the same could be said for Molodoy to some degree as well. He's not, I mean, yeah, he's great, but is he as good as he was, you know, when he was, he made people believe that he was better than Monesy. Like, it wasn't even a contention, you know. To say Monesy was better than Molodoy, people would laugh at you. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's ridiculous, you know. He's also, you know, still playing at a high level, but not exceeding expectations anymore. And I think that's the biggest issue. You're not looking at Fury right now where four out of the five players are exceeding expectations. Obviously, you set new expectations and you set the bar higher, so you can allow yourself to be a little bit more critical towards Furia when they've shown us they can be arguably the best team in the world. They were the one team to close the gap to Vitality, maybe even overtake them at a certain point, but I feel like they're getting further and further and further away from that. And then I know, as you said, with Pro League circumstances online, apparently Fallen wasn't able to attend the playoff anyway. That doesn't excuse anything that's happening in that group stage. They should be winning the games that they were losing. They should be part of the playoff. It's non-negotiable. Yes. If you're the first contender to Vitality, I don't care whether you play online. I don't care whether, you know, Fallen is not going to be part of the playoff. Like, you should still be winning those games. You should still be making the playoff. Like, you look at a fucking team like Heroic, you know, who made the playoff at Blast, the Blast Bounty, you know, with a stand-in that is playing the op role that's a rifler. You know, if they can do it, surely Furia can as well. So in that regard, I've been more disappointed than I thought I would. I said in the beginning of the season, it was a hunch that they wouldn't do as well, that they would struggle to win as many trophies, if even any trophies. That was sort of like just like a hunch. Now I feel like I've been confirmed in that hunch, and I'm even willing to say now that I'm a little bit worried on behalf of Furia. Maybe it's worse than I thought. Maybe we weren't right in that video. Maybe we're being too nice to them. Maybe we were actually too far off the mark in a negative
I'll
direction.
Tell you the scary angle, Pimp. One thing it's funny, everyone assumes I'm the hater of Fallen just because I think he was overrated, right? One area that I myself, like the Carrigan one, people also have been doing the same thing. There's a market for, like, will Fallen retire, like, after this next major? I remember thinking, no way, come on, like, he's got a team that can win, he's got a team that could win the major, for fuck's sake. If you're Fallen, surely if you stuck around all those years with, like, the last dance that was irrelevant, surely you don't quit when you still have the chance to win, you know? Surely what you do is you only quit when you've got a team like FaZe now, where it's all gone to shit. I tell you what, though, mate, when I see the squad there, have now, if they really do just make like some semis, the odd quarters, every now and then they drop out of a tournament, and then at the major they just, let's say, make the quarters and the semis, they don't win, maybe he does retire. I mean, the thing I did find really bizarre is the difference between him and Carrigan is he never stops talking about retiring. He mentions it in every interview. Like, it's like he's trying to prepare everyone that the second it's like the right moment, he's just going to say, right, see, I'm off. So that's the other thing that I worry about this team as well, mate, is... In a weird way, you don't want like your IGL to have like, what in English we say, one foot out the door. Like he's looking towards like, do I go now? Do I go now? You want him to be thinking about winning the next match and winning the trophies. And in an ideal world where the team of 2026 could still happen. And so of course we're not changing. But I know what you mean. Suddenly that seems plausible. Before I thought that was like a ridiculous narrative. I guess it is possible now. It's another possibility. Also, by the way, what a bummer that will be if either Carrigan or Fallon retires in 2026. Like legendary players, you never want to see retire, mate. You want to see them hang around as long as they can.
Yeah, especially because you don't want them to go out in that fashion. Now, like that whole comeback arc of Fallen 25, finally winning the trophy,
yeah,
you know, bringing Quezarado to a trophy cabinet that he can be somewhat proud of. You know, that's a wonderful thing. You know, having him, you know, being the mentor of Molodoy and all that kind of stuff. But I think, as you said, like Fallen has never stopped talking about that retirement is a possibility. I think he was considering retiring after 2025, but obviously, as you said, like you can't really retire when you are close to being the best team in the world, or maybe you even feel internally that you are supposed to be the best team in the world. You want to ride the wave for as long as you can, but the second that he may realize that Furia, as you said, dropped down to being third, fourth, fifth, seventh, sixth for that matter as well, like when you look at his career and his trajectory and everything that he's won and everything that he's achieved, like it's very hard for a fan to imagine this. And it's very hard, and I've noticed this when I speak to some of my friends or people who are not competitively driven, but if you ever been on the top and if you've ever been number one, you know, being number six, being number seven, being number eight, even being number four, if that was the case for Furia, it's super hard to motivate yourself. It's super hard to be proud of that. Like, it's super hard to find the same drive for being number four if you've been number one before.
Yes.
It's one of the things that I personally struggle with the absolute most in regards to playing Counter-Strike. I've even come to a point now where I don't play a lot of Counter-Strike because I hate the fact that I'm so bad. I hate the fact that I used to be, you know, in the top 1% of all Counter-Strike players in the world, where I'm just bang average right now. It's very hard to accept, you know, and I think for a guy like Fallen, and for any player who's ever tried that, you know, who's been on the top, who's been competing for the trophies, who all of a sudden is just falling into a point where it's not competing for trophies anymore, it's just competing for getting to the playoff or getting to the semifinal. Especially in the age of Fallen, who's tried so much, I would also say and agree with you fully that I think it's plausible that he will retire in 2026. Is that going to happen after Cologne? I don't know. Is that going to happen during Cologne? Maybe Fallen would even be willing to plan that, you know, and be like, okay, I'm going to give it one final ride. You know, we're going to give it all up to Cologne, and then we're going to make sure that there's a replacement, you know, ready for you guys after Cologne. I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, I don't think if you're playing the fuck is it called, everyone is sponsored by now, Polymarket, if you go in like the likelihood of Fallen retiring after Cologne, I'd probably be willing to put in a few bucks on that because I think that's likely to happen. Would it be sad? Sure. But again, it's bound to happen at some point. And at the very least, he got to show that he could, you know, fight 3-4 years to claim all the way back to be arguably the best team in the world for a couple of months with Furia, win some trophies for Quezarado, you know, put in a guy like Molodoy, mentor him, make him a future prospect to perhaps be one of the world-class players for the future to be. And I think that's a fine way of going out. If anything, I'd be more disappointed in Carrigan in some essence, because the last 12 months, as we said, yeah, that major final, you know, that was a cool story in itself, but also a bit annoying to be completely honest. But I think if you ask Carrigan, he want to go out, you know, on the top as well. He want to go out in a respectable way. And I think if you ask Carrigan right now, in a sense, I don't think he's too content with retiring with the way things have been the last 12 months. I think he feels he should be doing better. He feels he should be on a better team. He feels that he, at the very least, should win one more trophy before he can retire. And I don't think he's anywhere near close to that. Whereas for Fallen, you can argue that, as you said as well, yeah, Furia may not be as good as they were, you know, in the last 3 months of 25, but they're still close to winning trophies and they can still win tournaments where Vitality doesn't show up. It's not that I'm ringing all the alarm bells for Furia right now, but I think for Carrigan, it's a different conversation. So if anything, I think there's more pressure on Carrigan not to retire than there is for Fallon. So again, if you want to play that whole poly market thing, you know, who retires first, Carrigan or Fallon, I'd put my body on Fallon.
I'll make one last point on the whole Fallon retiring thing, and I'll frame it this way. What you were describing there of what it's like to be a pro when you're like in a good team, but then you keep having to start over. This is the way I want to describe it to people, because essentially it's actually why I think sometimes, actually I'll even use Mouse. This is where I do give Mouse props. One area where Mouse or the old school team liquid that came second all the time, one area you have to give them props is a lot of people actually couldn't do that, right? This might sound strange, but the reason why if you ever ask a pro player, they'd rather have one tournament win and come last at the next three than come second four times in a row. Now, that doesn't make total sense, because second four times in a row is like a very good performance. It means you're an elite team. You probably win way more prize money. You're in all these finals. Like, you don't have the same disappointment. But the problem is winning sustains pros in a way that like coming close just doesn't. And the example I'll give you is this. I heard from talking to pros so many times over like 20 plus years, the real bomber when he comes second or top four, which is kind of where Fury is at right now, is you think to yourself, right, just give me that same chance again. Put me back in the semi or the final and I'll win the next one. So what happens is when the next tournament begins, you're already sort of like, right, let's come on, skip past the group stage. Right, yeah, okay, whatever, quarterfinals. Right, I'm back again. Now it's my chance again to beat the Vitality here, to win the event. And the problem becomes, mate, first of all, you have to now get through the whole tournament to get back there again. And also, because your brain's sort of like, right, I want to get back to have a chance to win. If you now ever do bang out in a group as this, it's even more devastating. It's like, oh, but now I'm even further behind. I know what you mean. That feeling is almost like you tread in water and you keep going under the surface. Whereas if you just won one time, that'll give you the breathing room and this analogy, you know, that'll make you think, right, okay, I can go a couple of events. But the worst feeling in a weird way is to be the mouse and just be top four constantly, but never win a trophy. That's the bummer, right? I feel like, I know what you mean, that to me or you, that might seem as an outsider, like you stick with it. That could be the most draining of all for Fallen, if you just realise, actually, it's just time to leave, isn't it? Like, this is killing me, trying to get second, fourth every time when I used to win tournaments. Oh, I'm with you.